Much has been made of the dismissals and resignations since the election of President Trump, James Comey, Mike Flynn. But the process of appointing federal positions in the new administration in the first place is moving at a snail's pace. The U.S. is unusual in that it places 4,000 executive branch positions for an incoming president to fill. For President Trump, that means 1,100 top-tier political appointments currently still need to be filled, and he has nominated just over 100 of them. That pace is way behind the Obama pace of appointments that was considered slow by historical standards. Max Steyer is president of the Partnership for Public Service. Aside from all the distractions in Washington, D.C. right now, he says these appointment delays are one more reason making it particularly difficult to get things done in Washington.
I think people actually feel a lot of effects. They just don't realize that they are feeling the effects of poor management in our government. It doesn't really feel like a problem for most folks to think about, well, there aren't political appointees in the top jobs in government. How is that relevant to them? In fact, it is. And you look at the State Department as a classic example of that, where, you know, you've had the secretary, Rex Tillerson, and more recently a deputy come in, but virtually nobody else. And what you then see is a world that doesn't know who they talk to in dealing with us. So there was an interesting article I saw recently about Israel saying that they didn't have the normal people that they would consult with in the political position, the State Department, that they needed. And that's true everywhere. And the consequence for Americans is profound, because our government is, you know, most fundamentally responsible for our security, but it's also responsible for all kinds of other things that we care about, whether it's the quality of the environment around us or all kinds of resources for people who desperately need them and others who need them in different ways, like the education system. So it is our one collective asset as a people in this country for dealing with our most significant problems. So it's real important that we get this right, and right now we're in trouble.
Do you have any example of a vacancy rippling through various communities and having a tangible effect?
Sure. So I want to be clear on something, which is our system is resilient. And when we talk about vacancies, when there is not a political appointee that's been confirmed by the Senate, and there are 1,100 of those across government, it doesn't mean the job is actually vacant. There will be someone who's serving in an acting capacity. And in almost all instances, that will be a career professional that, in almost all instances, maybe one of, if not the most qualified person to do the job, but they're the acting individual. And for me, the metaphor is the substitute teacher. So you think about your own experience in the classroom. It may be a wonderful educator, but if someone's a substitute teacher, they're not perceived as having the real authority. They don't view themselves as being responsible for the long term, or in most instances, taking on the challenging problems, because they know someone else is coming in real soon. And that's what we have right now. We have a government that is led by substitute teachers, people who may be phenomenally qualified as individuals, but are not positionally situated to do the jobs as well as we need them. You ask the question, well, what impact does it have? And I can't tell you that there's some specific disaster that has occurred as a result of having a substitute teacher in place. But you and I both know that if you have a school full of substitute teachers, the students in that school are not going to get the education that you want them to have.
What is the likelihood that because of vacancies and the scale of the vacancies that you've described, that certain aspects of the government are going to be taken advantage of, that regulations are going to be, you know, stepped around, that certain people are going to get a wave through, a green light, that sort of thing is going to happen?
So there's absolutely that risk. There's also the risk that the government doesn't keep up with the world around it. And that's a profound one that has been taking place earlier than this administration. We have a legacy government that has not been agile, that has not actually changed in the ways that are necessary to allow us to receive the services in the ways that we need them. It suboptimizes, you know, a vital resource to us and across the board. Now, we haven't talked about the even more dangerous issue, which is what happens when a crisis occurs. So we basically have a ticking time bomb. And it's a scary one. We ought to be concerned about this. We're losing out in today, and we have a real risk in the future.
Is there any evidence that some of the vacancies are driven by people who came into the administration thinking it was going to be an exciting place to work and have now been very quickly disillusioned?
Not really, in part because there are not that many that have actually been confirmed. We're talking about 43 people out of that 1,100, and you know, we would argue they're smaller subset that are really important. So we haven't really seen the kind of attrition that ultimately does take place. And I do want to put this in context. I don't think any prior president has done this well. It has taken presidents over a year to get their core team on the field, and that's not good. You know, in the world we live in, and certainly with 4 years, if you know, waste that front end year, that's a big problem. This administration is just doing it a lot worse than it's been done before, and we're going the wrong direction.
Is there any particular government agency or set of agencies that's more vulnerable because of these vacancies that consumers and citizens should watch out for?
The challenge is it's across the board. You know, we have a FEMA director nominated but not yet confirmed. You know, hurricane season has started. I testified yesterday, you know, in front of the Indian Affairs Committee in the Senate about the Indian Health Services, and they're facing just profound challenges. There's a really strong acting director of the independent of the Indian Health Services, but again, you don't have a confirmed individual in there who can take on what is really a big set of challenges over the long term. So anywhere you turn, our government is actually responsible for an amazing array of critical functions, and it's not led in the way we need it to be led. And that ought to be concerning to people. And you pick your area, it's going to be important.
Max Steyer is president of the Partnership for Public Service, based in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.